Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, nice Friday night helping for you. Richard Marsland Studios here in South Melbourne. The best in the business assembled to get you through a nice preview of the game tonight. Friday night, of course, West Coast and Hawthorn. Domain Stadium in the West. We've got Jason Dunstall, four-time premiership superstar of the Hawks. We've got Chris Judd, dual Brownlow medalist, premiership captain of the West Coast Eagles. Damien Barrett again last night in news-breaking form. Dion Prestia headed to Richmond. You heard it first through Purple. And we've got Adam Simpson to join us a little later on as well, the coach of the West Coast Eagles. Massive game of footy this one. How do we find you all, gentlemen? Chief?
Very good, Jim. Looking forward to tonight's clash and another big weekend. We're getting very, very close to the business end of proceedings.
Ooh, nice. Juddy, you're looking very relaxed on a Friday night, just cruising in from Brighton.
Just understated tonight, Jim.
That's
just,
it.
Just toning it down a little bit.
Nice
just,
little jacket, though, Jim.
Yes,
he's answered
sharp.
The fashion call again.
It's just enough going on to keep everyone on their toes, but very good to be in here again.
And Purple, nicely layering yourself. This is your favourite night of the week. You get the rub done, and then you go home and strangle something, even though you go to a strange part of the world to get it, but it doesn't last long.
Well, I must admit, the Melbeck was underwhelming last week, Jim, so we'll be partaking in something a little bit more local tonight.
Very nice. As I said, we've got Adam Simpson to join us also. 6:30 p.m. You can head to the Triple M Footy Facebook page and a live Q&A with the one and only Chris Judd during the ad break. So that's
really?
Coming up at 6:30. Juddy,
ready
to go. Any questions you want to throw at the great man, charge your hardest. Now, a bit to discuss before we get, and also ship off, of course, coming up. And that's an extensive bit of paper you got in front of you there, Chief. So
it's a bit on it.
I get the feeling you're ready to go.
You didn't see your name though, did you?
No, it couldn't be in there.
Good.
As I said, I can't be touched at the minute.
you believe this
one. I'm untouchable, Juddy. He knows that. He's getting his good sort of awareness of that.
Can't be touched.
Jake Stringer has been dropped by the Western Bulldogs, yes?
I find it extraordinary, Jim, that you get to round 22 in the All-Australian forward of last year, and the man who opened the season pretty seriously in form has managed to find himself out of this premiership-winning hope team at this late stage of the season. Now, we know his form's been down.
Yep, but has been.
I just find it, good on Luke Beveridge for making the tough call, because that's what he's always done since he's got this position.
And sometimes you need to do these things to get players to fire it up. And sometimes you'll find coaches will do this and then there'll be a late replacement and he'll come back in. But he gets the public shake-up as well. I've seen that happen before with players. Yep. So we need to wait and see whether he, in fact, does play on the weekend. But either way, it sends a very, very strong message, doesn't it?
So at this stage, are they planning to play him in the VFL?
I believe so, yeah, which creates its own issue too. If he goes down in a VFL game, how do you justify that? But again, I think Luke Beveridge just coaches the same way for every player. And if that indeed did happen, well, he probably wouldn't like that to be the case, but would just shrug the shoulders and move on.
But, Chief, I would argue that he has worked under Al Clarkson for, what was it, 3 or 4 years or whatever the time was. And that's always been the thing I've loved about Clarko, is he has had no issue at all sending people back to Box Hill if they're not doing as they're told, basically, as the group expects. Yep. If they can't be trusted by the group, he just eyeballs them and says, you're going back until you can be. And it's worked its ass off for the Hawks. So Luke Beveridge has clearly seen it work and taken it to the Dogs.
A strong message to send, and you're better off sending it now than having this conundrum in the finals if you're still not playing well and then debating whether you actually have to drop him for a final. Then you probably don't have that option, do you?
A little bit easier doing it against Essendon as well.
Yeah.
You can be a little bit braver when you...
Probably.
When
are you disrespecting the Bombers, Chaddy?
Well, they're the bottom place team at the minute, Jason, and the data doesn't lie. So I think you can afford to be a little bit braver when you're playing the bottom team.
So do you reckon that may have been a factor in this
That's just my professional opinion, Damien.
I like it. No, I love these
things. We don't like opinions with facts backing them up, Chaddy. That doesn't work.
Well thought out and well presented. Where the bloody hell are they come from? It is interesting, though, because he, in the first 8 weeks of the season, Purple, was as hot a ticket as there was in this comp.
Yeah.
Jake Stringer.
Well, our man BT went out of his way to create the nickname of the package, which started last year, I know, but he didn't go out of his way to try and get it to take hold in this town, and it did. But the back half of the year has not been good, and even Matty Lloyd, Jim, on Footy Classified on Monday, said that he wouldn't be surprised if he was to get dropped. And to me, I wasn't aware, Jody, not with you were, but I wasn't aware that his form was that drastically off.
He's had a quiet month, and when I think of Jake Stringer at his best, I think of him picking the ball in traffic and breaking tackles, and he doesn't get a lot of opportunity to do that playing up forward. I'd actually like to see him up the ground more. Mm. The problem the Doggies have, they don't have many tall options up forward, and he's forced to be that tall option, but he doesn't take a lot of pack marks, and I think his best work is actually done with ground balls.
Doesn't play like a tall forward, to be brutally honest.
I'd like to see him in more stoppages. I think he's great around the ball and just so powerful, but he doesn't get that opportunity very often.
So you're saying he should be developed into a high forward stroke midfielder?
I'd like to see him like a Mark Rusciuto, a bit of time in the middle and then deep forward. And he could do both really well, but at the minute he's almost playing exclusively up forward.
I was going to say, to play the devil's advocate, in the Bulldogs' defence, they have used him up the ground a little bit, and he hasn't got himself involved one way or another. So he's had a few opportunities. I understand what you're saying, and maybe a more regular basis, but he's had a few chances further afield and it hasn't helped.
It's interesting that now Boyd holds the full forward post, at least by way of team selection, and Zane Cordy holds the centre-half forward post, and you've got Jake Stringer, the All-Australian, playing in the VFL.
Dion Prestia, we heard last night on the Footy Show Purple that he has nominated Richmond as his the club he wants to go to.
Yeah, Jim, apparently told that club about 2.5-3 weeks ago that would be the case, and I believe the Gold Coast Suns have known for at least the same amount of time that he wouldn't be returning to them. He's been there for 6 years, played 95 games, he's 23 years old, and I believe the deal that he's got in front of him from Richmond, Jim, is one that he just had to take once he made it known that he wanted to get back to Melbourne, and that is that it's a $700,000 plus deal for five seasons.
So we're
dealing with, and when I say $700,000 plus, it is beyond $700,000. So, I mean, well done to him. He was on the open market in every sense of that phrase. And Hawthorn Footy Club Chief, your club, and even inclusive of the coach, Alistair Clarkson, met with him about a month or so ago when he was in town for some surgery, and they felt they were pretty well placed. I still believe they've got the Tom Mitchell situation in their sights front and square, but he was a good backup in their plans for next year, and he's decided to go to Richmond. So how they execute it, Jim, is going to now be the challenge for them. Pick six, as it stands, is where they will fall for a national draft selection. But I'd be surprised if they just gave that up without trying to get some other players and other picks involved.
Now, Juddy, 700 plus indicates you are an A-grader. Has Dion Prestia done that consistently enough to be considered an A-grader?
Well, I don't think you're an A-grader till you're an All-Australian and probably a regular All-Australian, and he's yet to do that. But, you know, I'm a Dion Prestia fan, and, you know, money doesn't make you happy, but it stops you being sad, Chief. And I don't think Dion's going to be sad for 5 years by the sound of things, so that's good on him.
I like that.
Chief, also, too, what clubs have been doing now, at least in calculations, is factoring in up to 10, 12% on these offers, because that seems to be the increase that's going to come their way, at least in the first year of this increase, once they finally get around to talking officially about what the CBA is going to look like. So, and we'll talk about that later on through Jody's eyes, but I think the 700,000 does take in, give or take, a few percentage points of a 10% increase.
So there, he was taken 9 in the 2010 draft, mind you. That was the first of the compromise drafts, so
it was.
They had that many picks, they could have raffled where they took them all.
Yep.
But the argument has always been that, the whisper's always been that they'll want something in next year's draft as well. So you're saying Richmond won't even cough up their top pick from this year's draft?
I think they'll try and do something that doesn't have them coughing up six. How they do it, Jim, and we saw how they dragged out even the transactioning on Chris Yaron last year to get him to the club. They you know, took a long time to get that. So Gold Coast is going to be asking for that pick six. And look, maybe they have got their head around it, but I'd be surprised if that was the initial stage. At the initial stage anyway, that's what they agree to cough up. It's interesting for Gold Coast because, I mean, I still can't, and I haven't tried to say I've had a read on O'Meara all year, but I'm now feeling it's only 50-50 that he stays. And if I am a small betting man, Jim, as you know, I'd probably think it's now in the red that he goes, as in it's flipped over the halfway line on that he goes as well. And that's going to be a serious issue. If they finish 2016, 6 years into their AFL life, this is the year they're meant to be hitting the high points, without O'Meara and Prestia, on the back of the decisions they made last year to remove Bennell and Dixon from their club, yeah, it's a rebuild that just was not seen.
They'd want to have all those other midfielders fit when they hit the ground running next season, wouldn't they?
But Jago O'Meara, as I understand it, has just gone in for surgery again. Hasn't played footy for 2 years.
Unrelated, they said, to the other surgery. Okay. That's what they said.
Yeah, same knee, but unrelated to the problem.
So you are, if you're coughing up a first-round pick for him, you are taking a massive risk, I would have thought.
I would have thought so too. And look, I think Ideal World-wise, he appeals more than anyone does, including Prestia. Mm. But Ideal World is not at play here because he hasn't played for two full seasons. He played a complete set of matches in his first two seasons, 44 games after 2 years, and then has not been seen since round 23, 2014.
It's a long time out of the game.
And they, as I understand it, are very well stocked in this draft coming up anyway.
Yeah, they
Gold
are.
Coast.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they try and do by way of next year. Have they got academy kids coming? Will they need picks?
They'll have access to academy kids. I'm not in that space just yet, Jim, but they've got, look, from memory last time I did check, it's something like five or six picks inside 30 or 32, something like that. Yeah,
it's interesting, Jim, just talking about that. I've had people say to me they're in a great position to get players to the club, good players to the club, because of all the draft picks they've got. I don't understand why Gold Coast wouldn't be looking at building a dynasty by using all these draft picks. Just pick all that young talent, which is then just a few years under the ones that are playing at the moment, and you build a succession plan,
of course,
going forward. So
But that's what they meant to. They were meant to do that from the start, Chief.
Yeah, but keep doing it.
You got to learn from the mistakes you made last
time.
Keep doing
it. That's
what they didn't do last time. GWS did do it, copped a bit of medicine early, and look where they are now.
But also, Juddy, if you do what Chief's saying, especially if you've got that sharp end access, and you'll get more of it out of Prestia, then in 2 years' time, you know you're not going to hang on to them all. But when they want to come back, there's more picks start piling in.
And you just keep regenerating.
Absolutely.
The list, and good talent.
You're doing it at a rate that no Melbourne club can even get close to doing.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's an option for you. It'll make this a fascinating trade period, I reckon. Because GWS are in a similar position, I reckon, aren't they?
They've got, again,
six inside.
Something like that as well. Something like that as well. Yeah, they've already got two first rounders already to start with. And they're going to lose other big names as well, which will bring back in first rounders and second rounders as well.
I think with the great Chris Judd, Chief, we've had a nice little snapshot into how his mind works.
Mm-hmm.
We're always wondered, but now that he's becoming pretty regular on the Triple M footy, we're starting to get a real good understanding of how his mind works. Have a listen to this.
Money doesn't make you happy, but it stops you being sad, Chief.
I like the line, Jim.
I thought you warmed to it, Chief. Juddy and the Chieftain have some real strong chemistry in the studio together. Duke will get the arse at this rate.
not a bad call, Craig.
Where is Duke?
Well, this is an interesting partnership off, is all I'm saying. If I was the Duke, I would be listening in because I think he's going to get one of the all-timers come his way, and he's probably due it.
You shouldn't be preempting anything, Jim.
Remember we had the Thursday night footy sequence of events, and he did that for Channel 7, and he also did that for Channel 7 on the Saturday night, but somehow just was sick on the Friday. Yeah,
too sick to look. Well, he wasn't. The rest of his family was.
Right. Is that what it was?
Yeah, and so therefore he was home looking after them. They all had the gastro.
But he could meet every other engagement and requirement.
That's it. And then we tried to get him on air and he cut up enormously rough. And then when we said, well, you're going to cop a strafing if you don't come on air, he said, charge your hardest. So we did. And he might cop it again, Chief. That's my strong view.
I've seen the name on Chief's list for ship-off. It's pretty prominent.
Hey, Purple, tell us what's going on at Fremantle, please, because it appears that the joint's in free fall.
I think that's a fair description of where it is at. The Peter Sumich thing of a couple of weeks ago when he exited as an assistant coach, I think brought it to everyone's attention, Chief, that there is some seriously problematical happenings there at the moment. And then you add that to what Nathan Fyfe did publicly. Now, as a free agent, which he is next year, Juddy, there's no issues with him exploring free agency, but just the messaging that he sent in saying, well, I am going to be a free agent, I'm entitled to explore it, that added to it. You won't see Chris Mayne there next year. You won't see Michael Barlow there next year. Steve Harris, the chairman or the president, has exited. Now, I know there was a plan around that being the case, but the timing of it was at least questionable in some people's eyes. And I think when you really look at this footy club, heart and soul player of it for a long time now, Hayden Ballantyne, when he's contracted for next year and now will not be there and has sought a move already, I think that is pretty much all that needs to be said, that people in there now are tiring of what's happening, and the churn rate and the burn rate of assistant coaches and has now extended to the playing ranks. And Ross Lyon, Jim, with 4 years still remaining of an extended deal, has to change his ways if he is to get this back together.
So, Juddy, you're an interesting person to ask about this place. what's the culture of the Fremantle Dockers been like? Like, what's your, having looked at it from across town, how have you always viewed this footy club?
I think certainly once Ross Lyon went across there, they, you know, they really gained a huge amount of respect across the competition. And I can understand what Purple's saying, but by the same token, I think when you do finish 16th...
The heat comes?
Well, that's what happens, and you do make changes. And if you do have 29-year-olds that want to go and you can get something in the door for them, well, that's what you do. I don't think you finish 16th and you just say, let's keep going business as usual. So the player changes, I think, is fine. I can understand that. Turning over your assistant coaches constantly, I think, you know, there's a real cost to doing that all the time because it takes people 6 to 12 months when they enter a new role to really learn the ropes and become really competent in their surroundings. So that's something that would concern me a little bit. But as far as drastic list changes go, I think that's probably what Freo need to do.
I mean, I must admit, I knew a bit about them because my brother was involved as their financial officer when they started. They weren't given a great deck of cards.
No.
When you look at these two mobs that have just come in now, GWS and the Gold Coast, if you're a fan of the Dockers and have been since day one, you would be hemorrhaging at the leg up these two clubs have been given compared to what they were given to start that club.
And on top of the list composition too, in those initial years, Jim, they were required to pay a pretty hefty licence fee, which I think is still sort of being discussed.
Was it $4 million or something?
I think it was about that.
Yeah. That was the going rate back then, four mil.
And that was obviously an impost for them for a long time. But look, as Jody said, when they've clearly got it together. When Ross Lyon went there for the 2012 season and then turned it all around in a way that had them lose a grand final to Hawthorn by just 15 points and kicked so poorly in the first half, and yet we're only 10 points down at three-quarter time. But it just hasn't worked out since. We saw them last year finish top of the ladder, a game or half a game clear on top of the ladder, and yet couldn't make a grand final. And you just couldn't see. I couldn't see them going from where they were last year to this situation of just winning three games, which happened to be all in a row around about the round 11, 12, 13 period or thereabouts this year. So they've got a lot of decisions to make. They're hopeful of getting Bradley Hill from the Hawks, but they need to transact that. They've made some form of undertaking to get Cam McCarthy, but he's missed a year of footy and he's got personal issues which are on the public record and he needs to still work through them. And Rory Lobb is potentially going to be going back to the Perth area as a contracted GWS player. That may not happen, but he's certainly made it made both clubs aware. And I don't know how they can actually have any picks left to try and get in the race for him.
I just look at it, Juddy, and I know the people involved or some of them. They're all very competent people. They've now got this new facility down in Coburn that is extraordinary. They're very well resourced. They're very well supported. Their membership's high. So I don't understand why, A, they can't get players to go there, and B, players want to leave. That just doesn't make sense to me. Like, the Adelaide Footy Club, when it lost Danger, you think, well, that's about the only player that's ever left that joint in the last 15, 20 years because they're a very, very good footy club and players don't tend to leave good footy clubs.
Yeah, well, look, I think both the WA clubs feel it's very hard to get WA base players back there because they generally come to the eastern states and really enjoy it, and they both feel that's a challenge that they have. I don't know that it's a pot on the facilities. I mean, both those clubs are really well resourced, but I think it's more just a lot of guys enjoy living in Melbourne and or Sydney, and at that age before you've got kids, you know, Perth can struggle to drag them back.
I want to talk Olympics with you, Chief.
Yes, Jim.
Because I get the feeling you've watched a fair bit of it. I want to know what's going on with some of the behaviour late in the games, and I'm not talking about on track.
It's pretty much what you would expect, Jim.
Well, I would expect, but I blame Robert Allen.
Jim, if you've been over there and you've done your bit, whether you won medals or not, and then she was all over and you've got a week or a week and a half to go before you head home, what are you going to do?
I'd be in a body bag, Chief. But I'm just saying,
that's what they're trying to do, Jim.
Chief, I haven't got any criticism. What I'm saying is I'm blaming Robin Allenby because he set this precedent where you can go on an almighty tear and then just put your hand in the air and say, I have no idea what happened.
Or make something up.
Yeah, some interesting about homeless
stories
people.
Stories starting to come out, aren't there?
So. Aren't they just?
But funnily enough, they all get proven to be incorrect.
They do.
Take us through the Ryan Lochte one, please.
What's happening with Lochte, please? I don't understand.
You'll have to wait for ship.
Oh, he's coming?
Oh, he didn't ship off.
All right. All right.
What about the Aussie?
The couple
he
of the
gets
Aussies.
A little drive by.
Righto. And Kitty Chiller?
Kitty Chiller.
No, I leave Kitty alone.
Right. Why?
I just haven't focused there, Jim.
Righto.
I sense you'd rather focus there, though.
Well, my assessment of Kitty is for the 2 or 3 weeks leading up, every time there was a red light atop a camera, she just sort of turned around and accessed it.
And now?
And now that things didn't go quite so well during the games and our medal count wasn't quite so high, a little Marcel Marceau. And now, Chief, she's banning people who actually won 4 medals from walking with our team because they're having a lash.
These are adults, aren't they?
They're adults.
They're adults.
And they've finished
their
program. They've
got to be back by 2 a.m.
And they're bloody in Rio.
And they can't march.
Last time I checked, that's the whole purpose of Rio.
Having fun, but it's a dangerous place, Jim.
That's
the problem. It's a dangerous place if you go off the beaten track.
Is it?
And a lot of them are getting off the beaten track,
yeah,
I think.
They're swimmers. That's what they do. They don't do anything for so long, and then they finally have their events, and they either win or they lose, or they get a medal, and they go and celebrate.
So
and
it's the culmination. It's the culmination.
It's the release.
4 years' effort, and then they just completely lose it after that.
So yeah, it's swimming's fault, is it, Purple?
Oh, it's just the way athletes are. It's like the Mad Monday with AFL. The release factor to all of this. It doesn't matter. It's Rio. It could be Melbourne.
But Purple, would have liked a bit more sympathy when the boat crews are going on with those sort of views, Purple. You know.
Or that one that down Bokers. The Yarra.
What would you raise that?
I can't believe you went there.
What would you raise that?
Oh, I love that.
Anyway, I'm flat out. I've got my Facebook
thing. I to look after you and the club at that time.
Purple.
The handcuffing of a certain player.
I don't understand why these athletes don't just say, I've finished my program. I've had an almighty crack at it. I might well have made a complete ass of myself. I'm not actually clear in my memory. Yeah. Why would you then start inventing someone holding you at gunpoint and robbing money from you?
Well, I can't talk on behalf of Ryan Lochte, but you need to create a story for Kitty Chiller. You couldn't possibly come back with, I don't remember.
Come on, kitten.
She probably knows what's happened.
Are we ready to do ship off, Chief?
I'm ready, Jim.
All right, let's hit the sting.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Right, I'm going to kick it off with the Sun Theatre in Yarraville.
Oh.
Coming up on August the 28th.
It's an iconic place.
They're showing The Secret Life of Pets. And on this special day, they're allowing patrons to take in their dogs. Dogs in a cinema, Jim. So they said they're taking every precaution. They're going to have doggy bags for, you know, accidents. They'll leave the side door open if they need to take someone out. Extra cleaning time post-show. It's a room full of dogs together, Jim.
Yes.
It'll end up looking more like Jurassic Park than The Secret Life of Pets when the big ones start savaging some of the little ones. How do you reckon that day's going to go from? So, Sun Theatre, good luck, but you can ship off.
When was the last time you went to Yarraville, Chief?
Oh, I don't know where it is. Worry. Ryan Lochte, Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and Jimmy Feagan.
Yes.
They have an issue, Jim.
Yes. So
these are the guys that had a little bit of an altercation, I think, a couple of them. They damaged a service station restroom. I'm led to believe there was another female athlete, a married one involved, and that may have resulted in a blue between them. And then,
Hello, Chief.
Well, I haven't heard this bit.
You're bringing Ryan, a little dimension into it, Chief?
Ryan came up with a story, apparently told his mum, and she let it out of the bag, and then it came back through the media to him, so he had to back it up, and then he had to get all his mates to back him up. And
yes.
They did it for a little while until all the CCTV vision showed absolutely nothing going on, they were joking and horsing around, and the lid's off, unfortunately. So Ryan, he can take his medals and ship back off to the US, and his mates, they can ship off with him. So and a couple of Aussies apparently drawn into it all because they had a night out, Jim, and things didn't go well.
They did.
One of the girls didn't get back, but that's okay because her work was done. She's doing work elsewhere. And
No,
she was out having fun.
Thank you, Chief.
She was partying, is
she
what
was.
I'm saying. And one of the other blokes was found on the beach. Not quite sure what sort of nick he was in, but so there's a few athletes that need to be shipped off.
Right, I ship them off.
Now, it's not often I ship off a 68-year-old.
Oh, no.
A 68-year-old by the name of Tamara Samsonova.
Who's that?
That's the Granny Ripper.
Oh. I still don't
know. So she's got a hold of about 11 people over the last 20 years, Jim. And the latest was a 79-year-old friend. And they had a bit of a falling out. And when I say got hold of, I'll give you an example. So her latest 79-year-old friend that she had apparently a falling out with, she drugged her food, cut off her head, boiled it, and then put the remains in the bin.
Oh, no.
So I think Granny Ripper needs to be shipped off permanently. She's just about done, I reckon.
Oh, would have thought.
Can you have sorts like that roaming around?
I wouldn't have thought.
What had she done previously?
What part of the world, Chief?
Well, she's got 11 victims over the last 20 years.
Was that the harshest one?
Where does she reside?
Russian. No. What, not surprised you?
No, less surprised.
Suns coach Rodney Eade. starting to get his head around Jager O'Meara leaving. He's come out and said the price for Jager is two top 10 picks.
Ooh.
Hasn't played for 2 years. Just had another knee operation.
Yes.
I think Rocket needs to get a little bit of perspective while he's shipping off.
Shipped your old premiership teammate off.
Now, Jim, you and I are both very fond of cricket, as I think most of us are. But yes. The Australian Test cricket team went to Sri Lanka, ranked the number one Test team in the world.
What the hell?
Came home with their tail between their legs.
Yep.
And just to really put the icing on the cake, they'd lost the first two. They got themselves in a position in the second Test. They had them at different stages, 5 for 26 in the first dig. They made 300+. They had them 4 for 58 in the second dig. They made 300+.
Yep.
And in the end, Jim, we were chasing 324. We got a good start. Warner got a half century. He was off and racing. All out for 160.
That's it, after being one for
Didn't 100. Even get halfway.
No.
So I think they can ship off.
Yep. Oh, they deserve a shipping.
And the final one's a little closer to home.
I blame the fat boy.
A little closer to
Coach.
Home. Yep. If you listen to the Hot Breakfast, I want you to have a listen to Rosie. Just having a chat about what happened when they arrived in Rio and Luke Darcy was attended to.
When we arrived at Rio, the very night that we were there, met Diego and Maurizio for the first time, and we're all walking off to the car, and Maurizio starts wheeling both of Darce's bags, and I have to lug my own.
This is the very, very same Luke Darcy that arrived back from Rio this morning.
Yep.
Not here, Jim.
Not here.
No, not here. He is...
That was Jose Mary, who was on the same flight and was in there this morning.
Correct.
Working on the Hot Breakfast.
So to the Duke, I just need to summarise his character first. He's an insipid, yellow, lily-livered, cowardly, craven skunk of a string bean. He has no sense of mateship, Jim. Not an absolute skerrick of team ethos.
None.
And I think the simplest way we can state this to Duke is just to say, Duke, you are no longer required. You're done. You may ship off.
Well, I got the real feeling because I heard a bit of the extended mix of what the Jose Mary was talking to Mick and Ed about this morning. I got the real feeling that they're of a similar mind. Like they've had enough of him.
Had enough of him too.
Yeah, they've just said, well, we don't really need him around.
He's getting carried away with himself.
Where? How?
He thinks he's important.
Where?
Well, maybe where they make big pipes. I don't know. Got to drag something thin through them to clean them, Jim, but... Come on, Duke, make yourself useful. Give us a spell.
Maybe where they make big pipes.
Got to drag something thin through them to clean them, he reckons. Well, I must admit, Juddy, if you've been on what is basically a four-week junket, which is what he's been on, a couple of times he's obviously savaged the equipment himself so he hasn't had to do a cross. eased his way out into the Rio night. You'd think when you get back to town, you'd probably fire a shot, wouldn't you? You'd turn up.
You've got to make it up, don't you? You've been away for a month, holidaying.
That's it.
And
holiday.
I think it says a lot about him.
Like, give Ed his due. Ed can pull a junket better than any man I've ever met. But when he gets back, he turns up and he fires up. Duke just turned up and taken the piss.
Well, we know he'll be on the host broadcaster's coverage, won't he, tomorrow?
Oh, hello.
I think it follows on beautifully from the Wolfpack suggestion a little earlier on, that we just make a subtle change.
So I didn't get in, Chief, which I liked. I noticed, I'll tell you what I was watching the other night. It's one of my favourites, and I don't actually know why, because I'm not a big sport and footy watcher. But the Winners Rebooted Purple has got me absolutely fixated at the moment.
With Drew.
Mainly, I love Drew Morford, obviously, but mainly because the era that he's focusing on at the moment is the mid-80s, which is just liquid gold for me. So the other night, it was the last round of 85, where... obviously, the Hawks are in the middle of playing in 7 grand finals in a row.
Yep.
Last round, Princess Park, North Melbourne, Hawthorn. Hawthorn gave North Melbourne the mother of all pastings. But I didn't realise that a very young Chief was playing for Hawthorn at the time.
Yeah.
Kicked, I think, 2 or 3 Chief. But what interested me most, Juddy, was the way that he didn't get around some of the all-time greats of the competition, not only of the Hawks. Like, there was a couple of goals there, Chief, where your body language was just dismissive of some of the greats who played for your club.
What do you mean dismissive of them?
Fresh-haired Tucky at one stage. He came over to celebrate with you. Just turned your back on him. a dipper?
I suggest you... don't put dipper in the all-time grace. Oh. I suggest... He's one of my best mates. He's a ripper. I suggest you're taking a bit of poetic license.
Not at all. It was just... It was almost like early dismissive.
What you saw...
Were you nervous, Chief?
Correct. You saw nerves and you saw focus.
Even the great Barney Matthews, I think at one stage, you didn't give him enough. You gave him more than the rest because of his superstar status. But I don't think you gave him enough, Chief.
He was probably telling me to get out of his way.
And Dermot, you didn't get within 15, 20 metres of.
Terry Wallace, would you give Terry?
Player was one of my best mates there at the time.
Terrific player. But, Chief, you had that sort of dismissive nature about you even then.
No, I didn't, Jim. I didn't.
Just nervous.
Everyone's nervous when you get exposed.
Was that your first year, Chief?
That was my first year.
First year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just looked. It already had the. Nice...
Wasn't you wouldn't call it an extraordinary year that I had first up, but battled away.
Well, you played very nicely this day.
Battled away.
So that.
What was the hair then, Jim?
Oh no, the mullet was.
She was something to behold.
And a real rooster sort of bouffant over the top.
Had it all.
Tell us about the 85 final series because you went in comfortably beating the Kangas, who weren't great that year. But how did the rest of it go for you personally?
Had two good games and two absolute shockers.
Which ones were the shockers?
Against Essendon in the grand final was disgraceful. I think I had about three touches for the game.
What happened there, Chief?
Got smashed, didn't you?
Well, we got smashed, Jim.
Yeah, but that's...
And Lee Matthews played his last game.
And I couldn't draw it, Jim.
Right. Well, is that when Dermot kicked seven or something?
Kicked eight.
Kicked eight?
Yes. So... He was a lone hand, played an amazing game, and unfortunately...
So he stepped up.
Not too many of us, of the others, got their hands on the footy.
So would you argue, Chief, that he was a better big game player than yourself?
Yeah. On that day, was.
No, just over the course Never of his
since.
Career.
No.
Kick five on debut, Never Dermot, since. In a final, Chief.
Never since. That was the last shot he fired, Chief.
Jim, the best thing you can do is just go and check the books, mate. Do yourself a favour. Get hold of some facts and figures and work out who the big dog was.
I know who the big dog was. Don't worry. I've witnessed it. But what I loved was a young man already with the swagger.
Was he?
Not developing it. It was already there.
Give credit where it's due. Dermot was a very, very good big-name player.
Big game player.
And to be brutally honest, that's where he made his reputation. He could perform on the big stage, big time.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
We're just keeping abreast of the Olympics because it's what we do. Juddy, have you enjoyed it? Have you been watching?
It took me a little while to get into it, but certainly once the track and field started, it's hard not to get caught up and, certainly made sure I watched Bolt today and some of the other big events. But, I do love watching the athletics.
Have you seen a man win his eighth gold medal on the track and his third straight 200-metre gold medal and then accuse the blokes running with not giving him enough and costing him a world record?
Mind you, he was never going to run a world record in the weather.
No, I didn't think so.
Wet and cold, but he was keen. In good conditions, he would have given it a clip. But he actually looked tired at the end of the 200.
Yeah, he did. His style changed, didn't it?
Yeah, but I think he'll just casually slip back into the 4x100 relay to finish. And how good if he's got to give a couple of them a start, a couple of metres start and reel them in. That'll be huge.
Which he will, won't he? Because they're not favoured to win, are they, Trinity?
Well, they've still got Blake and they've got Asaf Appel running the heat.
Oh, no.
And he's your man.
Asaf,
yeah.
The man who just latched onto the Force's Lamborghini and just tested it out.
Can you tell that story?
No, I'm not sure we can.
No.
He just made sure he found out how fast it could go. Let's put it that way.
We know he has a good time when he gets to Melbourne. He was very busy off track in the 2006 Commonwealth Games. But he's still hanging in there, and he ran well in the heat. So, we've got Blake as a medalist times two, and obviously Bolt and Asaf Appel, and there'd be another one there that's pretty quick too, Jim.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
What about the BMX today, Chief? Do you think there's a role for BMX in the Olympics?
It's exciting to watch, though. Some of the stacks, feed income, they go so hard. And we've got, the good thing is we've got highly ranked girls and boys, Carolyn Buchanan and Sam Willoughby, and there's a couple of the others in the men's event that are very, very good. But a couple of stacks today, honestly, you look at it and you think he has to be nearly dead.
What about the pill bag? Because when you try and straddle a couple of those sort of hills, but you're not good enough, like Willoughby does it easy, but a couple of the Brumbies up the back, they sort of try and get the two hills done in the one jump and don't quite get to the second one. Your pill bag's got to plough straight into the seat or the bar.
Well, it doesn't, because the seat's very low. Oh. So it's not actually a seat that you sit on.
It looks to me like, we're watching a bit of it now, which is a bit like the snowboard cross at the Winter Olympics. The girls especially, because it's harder for them to make those jumps, they just hit it on the way up, Chief, and she's all over. Then they bring the meat wagon out and just cart them off.
At least they have a crack.
Oh, it's unbelievably entertaining for that exact reason. Mm. It's the similar sport and similar carnage.
But we need, like, in London, it was the sailing team that pulled us out of the absolute quagmire as far as medals go.
They've done a pretty good job of that here,
too. They have done it again, and we also need the BMX riders to win a couple of medals to make us semi-respectable, because it's been pretty disappointing again, unfortunately.
And the blue riband, we've gone very poxily in, haven't we? Anything that sort of the big stuff.
We've got a runner in the 1500 metre final on the track, Jim.
Which is a brilliant effort.
Very long time. Gregson,
When was the last time we had one of them?
Well, last time we had a gold medalist, we discussed this last night. It was Ralph Dubell, wasn't it? 1968.
And have we had a recent
I don't
finalist?
Think we've had a finalist.
Did Mottram make the final? Did Mottram make the final?
No. In fact, he got run out in the 5000 in 2008. He might have made it in Athens, maybe. He did make the final in the 5000, I think, in Athens. Yeah.
Just hearing that Will Langford has come out of the Hawthorn side with illness, and Sicily comes in for the Hawks. A decent change, Purple?
Well, Sicily, if you remember, he got rubbed out for a week, so he was going to serve his penance, but he's got the luck of a late inclusion to try and lock down a spot in that
team. Burton was left in after his debut performance last week, and obviously when the teams came through last night, Sicily was out. Mm. So I thought he might have been playing VFL this week. But
it's interesting from a balance perspective, as you say, with the extra forward, losing a midfielder and taking in an extra forward.
The other, just before we leave the Olympics, because I know we've got Simo coming up, the other one that interests me, Judd, is the boxing. Australia have a rich tradition in boxing, Olympic boxing. And yet every time in recent Olympics, we tend to find that our highest ranked fighters get out very early and immediately blame the ref. How do we ever have a system in boxing, Chief, where it's not referee opinion driven?
Because we don't have any Cubans. Because they're always at the business end of the boxing.
Exactly.
They just pummel people.
Are we not providing judges?
I don't know.
It happens to us way too often for my liking.
The Irish boxer wasn't happy either, Jim.
No.
If anyone hadn't seen that, it's worth Googling. Disgruntled Irish boxer.
But it is pure, as I understand it, it's pure opinion.
It seems to be.
Your boxing ref is just pure opinion. The judges.
They have scoring points, so they supposedly score it.
Yeah, like, supposedly.
But that's the same as any fight around the world where the judges are scoring.
Yeah, but at least if you've got the 12 rounds that you get for a world title fight, you've got a chance to get a man to the canvas.
True, but how many times have we seen results given by judges where people start booing and then the papers jump on it and they go, oh, something's not right here, because it's that sort of industry, unfortunately.
Well, it is. So once every 4 years you get a crack at Olympic gold in the ring, and some cheating bastard from somewhere just strips you of any chance.
True, but what we need is some big bloke that just knocks everyone out. How good would that be, just clubbing people left, right and centre and stacking them up in the corner?
Oh, no.
How's your ring craft at the moment?
Oh, it's exceptional. Been getting better. Although I was very annoyed to hear today, I wasn't down there myself, that John O'Brien's wandered into my gym and started throwing some leather around, because he hasn't been in the ring for 2 years. He told me he was on the way to the cemetery to find himself a lot. That's how badly he went. But within a month, he will be too scary to share a gym with, Chief.
You'll spar with him, aren't you?
No.
Did he do a bit of ab work with the medicine ball on his...
He's not at that. He's 2 years away from that.
He's not.
Juddy, that is only when you get to the exceptional end.
Is that the work you do, Jim?
Oh, you've got three sets of 10 with a 6K medicine ball, Chief, slammed into your guts. That's why I'm saying the craft is building to the point where I'm honestly...
What if you ever had to face something or someone, Jim?
That's not the point of it, Chief.
Completely useless to you, wouldn't it be?
The point of it, Chief, is to get yourself chiselled to the extent where you have a look in the mirror and you're pretty happy with it. Now, I tell you what...
You couldn't be at that stage yet.
I'm a little way off. Yes, we're here in South Melbourne. We're about to head over to the Western Domain Stadium to catch up with Tanya Armstrong, firstly, and then Adam Simpson, the coach of the West Coast Eagles, who are favourites, we just heard from Ben Dixon, going into tonight's game against the Hawks, which interested me, Purple. You know, I'm not a betting man on anything, and certainly not on footy, obviously, but I was interested to see they'll start favourites.
The turnaround on the back of what they did against GWS last week has obviously influenced that, and as we know, if they get over tonight, they are still a chance to host the first final. Things need to go their way, but they still will be alive.
Which is a massive prize.
Yeah, given
for them to get to sixth or fifth is huge.
Yeah, and given they'd had the accusations, whatever words you want to use, against them all year about not being effective away from home, and particularly against the good teams. But if you're Adam Simpson, you're going to take that situation that they've now in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that is maybe accurate, Juddy, that they haven't played as well over interstate, and they haven't. But it doesn't matter. Once you get into a final, your chances of winning it at home are 25 to 30% more than if you got to travel.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still one of the hardest road trips in footy. And yeah, rightly so, their form away from home has been pretty quiet this year, but that win on the weekend was, you know, as good as you get. So it could be a bit of a turning point for the club.
And very good for Nick Natanui, who's had such a tough road. To be able to have that impact late in the game must have been great for him and all the boys getting around him. You can see how loved he is.
Yeah, and he had a good game as well. It wasn't like he just did that at the end. And he's really important for them. I think Josh Kennedy's had an enormous year. Prittis is always pretty consistent, as has been Luke Shuey. But I think for them to have a role in September, they really need Nick Nack to play a big part of it.
Just looking at him, did he appear to be a little heavy to you? He looked heavy to me. But he ran out the game strongly. I mean, he looked shot at three-quarter time. But I thought he played a really good game and he ran it out strongly. But maybe just because I hadn't seen him for a while, he looked heavy.
I didn't notice it. Yeah, I didn't notice it. But
You did worry? You agree?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, obviously with the Achilles that he had, he couldn't put a lot of weight on it. And I felt the same. But like you, and as Juddy said, he ran the game out.
That was, I'm happy to stand corrected if I'm wrong. Maybe it was just my eyes playing tricks.
We might ask Adam Simpson, because I think he's ready for us. Tanya Armstrong's over there at Subi Oval. Tanya, welcome to you and Simo.
Yeah, thanks very much. Simo, it's a huge game tonight in terms of a top four finish. You guys must be really looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to the game. The results will take care of itself, but the fact that it's a Friday night, it's against Hawthorn, and it's a pretty good evening here as well, so we're really looking forward to it.
Hey, Simo, you might have just heard a massive, great big pot calling the kettle black, with Chief saying that Nick Nat knew he's got a fat ass.
I didn't say that. I said he appeared heavy.
Is what you would know, has because of the Achilles and the lack of work going through that part of his body, has he actually carried a bit more weight than normal?
Well, I agree with you guys that he looked a little bit heavier on the weekend, but he's actually lost a little bit of weight. And I actually asked the same question to our head of fitness. I said, what's going on with Nick? He looks a bit heavy. And they said, no, he's actually as light as he's ever been. I'm going to put it down to the black boots that he's wearing.
Either that or the dreaded away white shorts, Simo. They can have a bad impact too.
Wearing fluoro yellow shoes before he got injured, and I reckon you look a bit lighter when you got the lighter boots on.
Nice. Simo, what are you expecting Clark out of Chakachu tonight?
Oh, look, I think knowing Hawthorn, and we've played them a lot in the last 12 months, I think they'll just play their way tonight. And look, they may do a bit of work on Luke, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just backed themselves in and backed in the way they played. And you know, that's really held them in good stead in big games. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to do too many tricks.
And Simo, do you go back to the well and analyse what you guys did to them late last year when you got the points, or do you look at trying to introduce some new tactics this time around?
Well, I didn't look at that game because it was pretty basic for us. Is we put a lot of pressure on, we forced them into turnovers, and we got the game played in our half. It was a really simple process. So we've been unable to do that the last two times, and in fact, we've been blown away in the contest. So a lot of people talk about Hawthorn and the contested ball. I think they had massive numbers in round two. So we need to get that right and get some good supply, and then try and shut down their ball use. So it's a pretty basic strategy.
Yeah.
Adam, there's a lot of intrigue over on this side of the country about Eric McKenzie's situation. Obviously a best and fairest winner a couple of seasons ago, missed last year with the knee, and in and out of the team this year, not in tonight. Do you still potentially see a role and a significant one for him with what lies ahead in 2016?
Look, I think Eric at his best is our best defender. So he won the best and fairest in 2014, and obviously did his knee in pre-season 15. He just hasn't come up as well as he would have liked this season with the knee. And, it's a 12-month process, I reckon, for big guys. It's a little bit different. So we're working on some things. He's getting better, but it probably is not as quick as we all thought. And, he's been available every week. We just haven't been able to get him in the best side at the moment. But I've still got big plans for him.
A lot of people have had their opinion on how the Eagles are travelling this year. How do you compare the form to the way you were going at this stage last year?
Well, it's interesting. It's been a different year, no doubt. Different expectations and probably different levels of performance for us. I suppose this year we've got some wins that have been pretty ugly, whereas last year I thought most weeks we really put the foot down and we won some convincing games. Yep. Against really good sides. So there's no doubt we're not as electric in terms of scoreboard pressure and dominance, but I've been really reasonably pleased with the ability to close out games, and we've learnt different things this season, and albeit we haven't hit the same height, so I'm pretty happy with our performance in general, although there has been a few games we've been right off, so that's something we need to work on.
Hey Simo, Jeremy McGovern fascinates me, big fan of the way he goes about it. Where is the absolute best place for him to play footy? If you had Utopia and you had every other part of the ground settled, where would you love him to play?
Well, he's just going too well as a defender. Look, he's probably going to be an All-Australian defender. And, you know, I know Pavlich in his early years really cut his teeth there. And maybe in the future there's a spot for him up forward as JK progresses in his career. But at the moment, every time we try it, we get scored against. So we don't get the ball to him. And he's just too important for us down back at the moment. And we need a settled back six to take on sides in the top six or seven. They've all got elite forward lines. And we need him at his best down back at the moment.
Simo, I did the game up in Sydney last week against GWS and I watched a couple of the kicks from Shannon Hearn, including a couple of kickouts. It's a cannon that he's got for a right leg. Do you reckon you get full value for it? Do you sit around at times thinking, how can we strategise around that kick to get better benefit?
I think we get full value. It's just getting as many possessions as we can into him is probably the question you're asking. And I think it's just hard for a defender who, you know, a lot of the time he defends deep as well to get the job done and then get the ball in his hands. His kicking efficiency is second to none. And what he does with the ball is everyone knows. But teams put work into him as well. It's not just roll out there and do what you want. So there's a combination of getting the job done as a defender and then trying to get him some footy to rebound is always a challenge. Well, I think this year, though, he's had a really good season. I think for in the second year as captain, I reckon his season so far has been better than last year.
Adam, I think when since you've taken over as West Coast coach, you've well and truly kept in check your public displays of emotion. That wasn't the case last week, was it?
Pork chop, yeah. Absolute pork chop. Yeah, I'm just glad Coxie's put on 30 kilos and got in front of that camera for
Looks like he chin and swallowed his neck, big Coxie.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working on that. But, yeah, look, if you can't celebrate after a goal like that and an end to a game, I mean, those type of games, you're probably, you know, two or three games like that happen in your career. So I wasn't thinking about calming myself. I never do. You just react the way you react and you don't try and outthink yourself in terms of what the cameras are doing. I definitely don't do that. I just don't seem to do too much most of the time.
I think people loved it. It's been commented on all week. Have you gone out of your way to not be the person you probably would be if the cameras weren't there?
No, not at all. No, my general philosophy is if you can't be yourself, then you're in a bit of strife. And I don't get caught up in the highs and lows in particular game day. And that's just me. So it was the same when I was an assistant and I haven't changed the way I am. So I just really find it really hard to think through a situation if you get so emotionally attached to a free kick or a result. So I definitely don't work on it or think about it at all. And that's just who I am.
Yeah.
I saw you get emotional a couple of times, Simo. Certainly later in your career at North when you had a set shot from 35 out and the boys started zoning.
Oh, come on, mate.
Abusing
that's
his own
cheap.
Teammates.
You're getting to the bottom of the barrel already.
Before he'd even kicked the ball, Chief, there was abuse flying at his own teammates.
That happens to a few people, Jim. Don't worry about that.
And your assistant coach has been having a few match races, a few 400-metre match races. Who's been the most recent of them and who were you backing?
Look, we're trying to keep things pretty light throughout the year. We're a pretty young coaching group. You know, we'd have to be one of the youngest in the comp and we try and keep things fresh. So we did have a 4x4 relay a few weeks ago and Coxie got us home, the older guys. He still knows how to put in some big efforts, Dino. He's got some good competitive instinct. But, that's just part of trying to keep the season as enjoyable as you can.
You mentioned before that you thought Hawthorn would play their own game. What about yourself? Do you structure up as normal or do you put work into Sam Mitchell?
Yeah, we've got to look at those things. Obviously, the last two games hasn't worked at all for us. So, you know, I spoke before about the contest being critical for us. So that's how we'll start. The fact is we didn't tag him in the first final and he had 35 possessions and we won by 5 or 6 goals. So, look, it can be done. I know there's a lot of heat out there for him to be tagged and we need to look at that at stages, but if you can't win these games by backing yourself in, then you're not going to win in the long run.
Yep.
Hey Simo, thanks very much. You're always very good to us. Good luck tonight. Big game for your footy club.
Good on you, boys.
Now, we need to discuss a bit of news before we get over there. You've got to, Damo, be very much in admiration of the Essendon Footy Club and their ability to get all these blokes to re-sign, Michael Hurley being the latest.
Yeah, the latest and the most significant when it came to the project of retaining the 12 who were still on the list from the time in question with the WADA ban, Jim. So it was a huge effort to get him when they set out on this task, and I think it was questionable and it still may well be in the eyes of some, given they've missed obviously 12 months of footy before they return next year. But you couldn't have gone down that task and not retained Hurley. Yep. To me, it would have been a pointless exercise. So they got
so
him.
So he
got
was
him
the P, you reckon? He was the
best
of them?
Yep. Yeah, he was. And now that leaves, obviously, Watson, and they'll give him some more time than they give someone like a Hibbard even. But even on the weekend just gone with Hibbard, they felt quite excited about a potential turn and change in his mindset about not being as strong to go to Melbourne. Hibbard's dad was spending the time with an official at the club throughout the course of the game that they won, and we spent time in the rooms afterwards. So they're hopeful there. They've also today announced the re-signing outside the 12 of Tipping Waddy.
Yep.
And
who's been magnificent, by the way.
Yeah, has been really good. And they will, at some stage before the season's out, officially recontract Brendan Goddard into 2017. So they've done that really well. Hibbard is the question mark now, and we know the question mark's on Watson. It has been all year, but that's where they're at. And I think if they don't get the remaining ones, and Howlett's also part of it, and Pears, the word is, and it seems to be pretty strong, that he's not going to be coming back for private reasons in terms of his own career choices. But yeah, they've done extraordinarily well.
JD, I'd ask you this. Two questions for you. Firstly, yeah. Do you think Job Watson will play footy for Essendon next year?
I don't have any insight on it other than the fact that he's been training incredibly hard and he's super fit. So that tells me he's going to be playing footy, because if he wanted to retire, it'd be living the good life, a la some of the swimmers in Rio.
Yep.
And I think if that's the case, I think he'll end up playing at Essendon, given the family history and the stage of his career. Very hard thing to go to a different club just for 1 or 2 years at the end of your career.
Okay, second question. How good are Essendon going to be now that they've hung on to most of these blokes next year?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a question mark when you've got 12 guys that haven't played for a year. But having said that, what they've done with the available list this year, I think they've really overachieved. They've done really well, and I think they can be knocking on the door of finals, if not scraping into finals next year.
That's interesting. Your thoughts, Chief?
I'm a little bit the same. It's an intangible, isn't it? The impact that missing a year has had on all these players, and I think they've developed some really good kids, so they'll be thereabouts. But I'm not as bullish as some people are, because I think just the fact that these guys haven't played and they have to come back, and a lot of changes happen in 12 months of football, Jim. The game's very, very different to what it was the year before. So to slip back in seamlessly is a big ask for all of them.
How well have you seen Zach Merritt emerge, Chris Judd?
I think he's been terrific. I think he's been their best player this year. But putting him aside, some of their other kids have been really good as well. I think Fantasia's shown a heap.
Yep.
I think Francis is really good. I know he hasn't played much footy, but I think he's going to be a really good player. And obviously Darcy Parrish had a really good year. And their tools, particularly with the guys coming back, their key position stocks are really good. Leuenberger becomes important for them, but all in all, I think there's a lot to like about their list.
And John Worsfold has been very openly, from anyone at Essendon, credited with an amazing job of not only keeping this current group together through a difficult season, but also being the reason why a lot of these blokes are re-signed. You spend a lot of time under him?
Yeah, he has. He, from the outside, it looks like he's done a terrific job. And I think one of the things that I've seen whenever he's spoken about negotiating with players to come back, I think a lot of times footy clubs put energy into what does that player need to come back. And I think the best thing to do is to make the environment as good as it possibly can be and hope that the player wants to be a part of it. I think that's the most effective strategy to keeping players, rather than just paying them overs or letting them go overseas or letting them get extra leeway. If you make that environment as good as it possibly can be, and then hopefully the players are staying for the right reason, and that's really what he's done down there this year.
But it hasn't surprised you that he's had that impact? I mean, you obviously played under him a lot in the West.
No, I think he's done a great job, and I think he's really suited to that type of role. He's been through, some pretty dramatic cultural changes in his time at West Coast, and knows what it's like to have to face adversity. So largely for that reason, I think he was a really good fit for Essendon, and so far that's proven to be the case.
Tell us about Jason Lepich. Justin Lepich. Jason Nakamanis, I'm thinking, why was I?
Two rounds to go, board meeting Tuesday night. Jim, you know my views on it. It's been the case for a good 6 weeks now that he won't be coaching in 2017. To me, and I know it doesn't sound all that savoury to be talking about someone's future this way, but we just call it the way we see it. The decision will be reached at some stage of the next fortnight, be that before or after the round 23.
So what do they do? Because John Worsfold was a very successful coach somewhere else and had a spell out of the game and has come back and been a very good fit for a club that's needed some really strong guidance. You would almost put Brisbane in the same category.
I think it's a worse category because eventually once Essendon got through 2016, there was going to be something to work with in some form. We now know what that form is. With Brisbane, I'm not as convinced. I'm not as buoyant about what the form is in the future, even beyond 2017. They need to get someone in from the ground level. And I feel it will be, and they don't grow on trees, and they're not naturally presenting themselves, but someone like a Luke Beveridge and someone like a Dom Pike, who has been in the system, and your man, Chief, I feel Chris Fagan looms as the type of person I think they will go for. Now, whether he's interested personally or whether there's someone else in the system like him, but I don't see them giving it to another untried coach. They've now done that with Michael Voss and Justin Lepich. It hasn't worked. I think they need to, and I think they've got the intent and drive to go down that path.
Whoever goes up there is going to need some pretty strong assurances, because the first 2 or 3 years are going to be pretty lean.
Yeah, they are. And there's talk during the week, and again, the board will probably thrash a fair bit of this out on Tuesday, but they are almost conceding that it's possibly, even from here, having already done it for 3 years, that it's a 4-year minimum look at a form of rebuild that's going to be sustainable. So that's not for everyone, as you know. That's not for a young coach, for starters. And it may not be for someone who was wanting to get into the system, having been in the system as an assistant for a long time either. So they've just got so many decisions to make. And the AFL will be pulling some puppet strings from afar without having their fingerprints over those strings as well. So they'll be playing a big role in it.
Not far away from Andrew Embley, who's going to be joining us in Perth. In fact, he may even be ready now, is he?
G'day, JB.
You guys. It's nice to welcome you because we can welcome everyone from Perth at the same time who joined us for the first time for a big, big game in the West. Snuck through last week, the West Coast Eagles, your old mob, Embers, and now are favourites to beat the reigning Premier.
Yeah, they were very good last week. I think a lot of people still sitting on the fence a bit with the West Coast Eagles, and certainly their last three games have probably determined whether they're going to be a threat in September or not. So I don't think many people gave them a chance last week against the Giants. I thought they were very resilient and very brave, especially in that last quarter, to be able to fight back. Huge win. They get a lot of confidence from that. Obviously, the Hawks are a super team, but I think with what we saw last week, the Eagles should be really confident and they'll back themselves in to beat the Hawks tonight.
And as you speak about all those people that have been sitting on the fence a little bit, I guess it's fair to say I haven't been super impressed by West Coast this year compared to what I saw from them last year. How highly do you rate them? How do you think they're travelling heading into September?
Yeah, I probably agree with you a bit there, Chief. When you have a look at their numbers through the midfield, are probably a little bit low. I think they just lack a little bit of depth through there, relying so much on guys like Luke Shuey, Pritis and Andrew Gaff, and just probably fall away a little bit after that. But in saying that, they've only lost the one game since the bye. So it's all about timing. And if they can knock off the Hawks tonight, get a huge scalp, then certainly go to Adelaide next week with a bit of confidence, a chance to win that game and potentially get a home elimination final will be important for them. But, yeah, it won't be easy against the Hawks tonight.
And Wacko, it's Juddy here, mate. We went to the snow at Falls Creek a few weeks ago and a lot of people up there were calling you Chumpy Pullin. But if you got a message or maybe an apology to the small lady, you can end into it 50Ks when you were heading down the mountain on your snowboard.
Man, I'm going to blame you because anyone that's ever been to the snow always say, do yourself a favour and just get a lesson first. It's just one of those things that you have to do. And Judd Man's, no, you'll be fine, Embers. We'll just, I'll teach you, mate. So obviously you didn't teach me too well, mate. I took some pretty bad stacks and as you saw that first night, mate, it was very hard for me to turn and you know, move my head or my body. It was humour, mate. But, good fun. Boys are still talking about it.
Hey, yeah, Andrew, we asked Adam Simpson before about the prospects of Eric McKenzie getting back into the team and playing a significant role with whatever lies ahead for the Eagles. How do you see his story in this season?
Yeah, good question, Damo. No doubt anyone that's had a knee reconstruction, no, it's almost a 2-year injury. You have the year out. And then the second year, you're still trying to find your feet. So for mine, Eric McKenzie, the more footy that he plays, I think the more confidence that he's going to get. With Tommy Barris out tonight, you would have thought that he might have just come straight back in. But obviously, Hawthorn didn't have a huge forward line. So maybe the idea was to play Schofield on Gunston and maybe go a little bit small. And I guess that's the reason why they brought Jackson Nelson in. But I'm not really quite sure what West Coast are thinking with Eric McKenzie at the moment. There is word that he could be traded at the end of the season, but I think he's still a very, very good player and hopefully he'll be able to eventually get back to his best.
What about Lewis Jetta? He's a player that we've seen in and out a few times. He came over and he looked to be the sort of player that West Coast could use. Gets another opportunity. he's got to make the most of it because he's not going to get too many more, you'd feel.
He does, and West Coast have been very patient with him this year. Domain Stadium's a big ground. They want to see Lewis Jetta run and carry and use that football that he uses so well when he's got the ball in his hands. So I think he's a really good decision maker. They just got to get the ball in his hands a little bit more. So his form at East Perth over the last couple of weeks has been really encouraging. Gets a chance tonight. And I think that outside run, especially on this ground, will be really important.
What? And yeah, if you were West Coast list manager, what would you be looking for at the end of the year?
I think they still need to strengthen that midfield, Judd, man. Again, so much reliance on two or three players. But I know Dom Sheed's missed a fair bit of football. I think West Coast have really missed him. Liam Duggan's another player they've got a lot of hopes for. But to be able to get another midfielder come through, Matty Pritis has just been a stalwart for so long. But you can't expect Matty Pritis to be around forever. So another couple of midfielders I think will be really important.
What about Ballantyne? Would you like to see him at the club?
I think he'd be important for West Coast. I mean, when you have a look at some of their tall forwards, to have a small crumbing forward with the likes of Ballantyne, West Coast have really probably never had that kind of player since Phil Matera. So when you're getting enough sort of inside 50 entries, if you've got that smaller guy crumbing around, I think will be important. And Ballantyne, maybe 2-3 years to go. I think he's sort of late 20s at the moment. I think West Coast could certainly get a fair bit of benefit about getting him to the side.
Jack Darling Embers, what's going on with him this year? Doesn't appear that he's playing as well as he can.
Yeah, a little bit inconsistent, and that's probably, you know, his greatest challenge. I think there's a bit of a gap at the moment between when he plays really well and the games where he doesn't really have an impact whatsoever. So he's probably at times this year just sort of been struggling a little bit in regards to his running patterns and also just sort of getting in the space a little bit of JK, probably pushing up the ground a little bit because JK has had such a really solid year. So he needs to continue with his work rate, which is really important. And I still think that he's certainly got another level that he can go to.
All right, Embers, enjoy the call. We will back here, but I'm sure he'll have a great time at Subi Oval.
Good on you guys. Cheers. You,
Andrew Embley, Premiership superstar of the West Coast Eagles.
You know what I learned out of that interview?
What did you learn?
Juddy's not much of a snowboarding coach.
Wasn't much of a student, Chief.
Nothing to work with.
Some sort of a fire drinky drink up of the snow too, which is a whiskey-based drink. And he was very confident at drinking that, Wacko, but a little bit short on the snowboarding skills.
Who else headed up? Just the two of you or as in families? Or
just us two, and we took our eldest boys up. So a boys trip, and then I had five or six mates I grew up with who were yet to experience the joys of fatherhood. They were sort of staying in the naughty house and we were staying in the grown-up house. And when they start acting like grown-ups, they can come into the grown-up house.
What sort of skier are you, mate?
I'm a snowboarder. Right. And we're not quite in the chumpy pulling category either, but do really enjoy it.
So the knee's obviously able to withstand the rigours of that.
The knee was great. Yeah, so I was a bit nervous about that, but got through fine.
There's no chance you'd make a comeback, is there?
Not unless the deal was right. Purple, and if I was any AFL club there offering me a deal, I'd suggest you make sure it wasn't right.
I have snowboarded very poorly, Chief, on occasions.
And, not surprising.
And caused considerable carnage.
See, you're the living example of why you should go and have lessons.
Yeah, I know, I did.
So you can ski in control.
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
Well, then go and have more lessons.
Yeah, well, I had more.
Then get off the mountain.
Yeah, what happened was that I kept crashing and then skiers would go straight over the top of me and land like 30 metres after they were airborne down the mountain.
Stay off the mountain, please.
And they were French.
You're dangerous.
And I don't understand a lot of French, but just how strong the words they were saying, Chief, gave me the real feeling that they weren't overly happy with me. Because it was rock hard. That's the winter I went there, Juddy, was they hadn't had any snow. It was between Christmas and New Year. Hadn't had a drop. So unlucky. Apparently the only time in 50 years that's happened in France. So they were as hard as a rock, Chief, and about as wide as a road, wide as Clarendon Street. So I was unlucky. I pulled some poor conditions.
I suggest there was more to it than that.
Yeah, and also
a distinct lack of ability.
And also considerably hungover. Did you listen on every occasion?
Did you listen at the lessons?
Well, when you're doing, and you know this, Juddy, as a snowboarder, you're a skier, Chief, yeah. But when you're a snowboarder, if it's really, really hard, the ice, the snow, basically ice you're doing it on, you can't get any traction, Chief. You just basically aquaplane everywhere you go. So that was my problem.
When in doubt, Jim, just point it downhill.
Well, that's what I tried, but then I'd get too much speed up, so then I'd turn it sideways and try and wash some of that off. And I'd then get in the way of these downhill skiers who were really bloody good. And Yeah, I think a couple of them had significant injuries.
We had a hilarious trip to Aspen one year with Dipper.
Yep.
And Dipper was a snowboarder. The rest of us were skiing, and he came out with us. And in the end, at the end of the day, he had a new nickname, Daisy.
Why?
As in driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
Slowest snowboarder I've ever seen. Not at any stage was he anything less than perpendicular to the downhill slope.
And I was the same in the
end. He was just crawling, making us wait at every time.
Well, the problem, as you know, Jody,
let him run sometimes.
It's counterintuitive snowboarding because you've actually got to lean into the slope to slow down. So if you lean back, you actually gain pace. But is that terrified of falling over that you lean back? And there you go faster, and then you fall over. It's a dumb thing to do snowboarding. There's actually no sort of, it's not a mentally sort of switched on thing to do.
Well, perhaps, but it is a lot of fun. But speaking of those falls, the one wacko did have on this sport, poor Norwegian lady, was world class. And Wack had concussion. I think she certainly had something broken. And he didn't spend a lot of time apologising either. He just sort of dusted himself off and straight back down the mountain. So criticising people being too slow, sometimes the opposite isn't too impressive either.
No, couldn't agree more. It's just that this bloke had talked himself up a bit.
There's got to be a joint like Big White or somewhere where it's like 150 metres wide and just a gentle sort of rolling slope. That's got to be a better spot, doesn't it?
Going to Big White in January.
Well, that's got to be better, Chief, doesn't it? If you're boarding and you're not that good at it, you need a lot
of
room.
There's all different sorts of terrain, Jim. You just need to go and find the beginner's terrain.
I've done that.
And still having problems?
I'm still having problems.
Then you need to hang the board up.
I think your extensive ab work now, you'd be a lot better now, Jim.
Now you're starting to get there, Jody. Have you ever had a crack at this purple?
I've actually been to Big White, and that was my one and only experience with it. I got a junket to Canada many years ago, and in the space of 10 days, I was able to get some free lessons, and I did like it, but I haven't been back since.
That's scary. I won't say I'm natural.
No, skiing. I wouldn't do the board. No, I'm hopeless on a skateboard.
Was the scarf involved?
No,
well, this was pre-scarf,
only,
wasn't
about
it?
May this year, as you know.
I'll tell you what I was best practice at, Chief.
Arpray, I was going to say.
I couldn't be touched. I worked out very quickly whose palms to grease.
Just found the open fire.
Don't worry about that for a second, people.
Just stick with the Australian Reds over there.
Very, very best on ground.
And had the good gear on so you look good.
It looked $1 million.
The Canadians do a very good sticky
one. Yeah.
They're called ice wine.
They do.
It's a very good one.
The French, I couldn't understand a word any of them said, but I drank whatever they put in front of me. Hey, this has been very, very nice. We haven't really previewed this game only because the boys are about to do a brilliant job of that over in Perth, Andrew Embley and the crew. I'll get the thoughts of the assembled masses here as to what they think is going to happen. Can West Coast beat Hawthorn tonight?
Yeah, I actually think West Coast win tonight.
I do too.
I tip Hawthorn as a general rule all the time, Jim, but I think it'll be a close one.
Yeah, I can't see anyone beating Hawthorn until the final start, and even then I don't like anyone's chances. The only thing is, it's looking like Geelong and Hawthorn will play the first final at the MCG, and that, Chief, will be an absolute cracker.
It will be, but the flip side of the argument is if West Coast get up tonight, Hawthorn will drop to fourth and go probably to Sydney in week one.
That's why I can't see anyone beating him. That's why I think they'll win tonight, because the prize is too great for them. But I do love, Purple, the thought of Geelong and Hawthorn playing the
final
to begin the series at the MCG.
Do you think there'll be a lot of disgruntled supporters of football in general if a year where Hawthorn may not win the premiership, that it's either Geelong or Sydney?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
I'll be one of them.
Well, since 2007, there's only four clubs that have won them, isn't there? So,
and they've all been unbelievably good. Hey, Juddy, great to see you. What are you doing for the rest of your Friday night, please?
Very quiet tonight. I had a little bit of a hit out Wednesday night, so I'll be I'll be very relaxed tonight.
It's taking you this long to get over it. that's a considerable hit out, Purple.
Well, you know what I'll be doing, Jim. I actually shared a wine with you during the week, actually.
You did? Quite a few too many. Yeah. Chief, just drifting back to the boudoir.
A long time between hit outs for me, Jim.
Really?
I'll just be going home to watch the footy and heading to Adelaide tomorrow.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M. Rocks football.